Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be discussing a subject that's in the news quite a bit today, and it is relating to health and wellness, but it's going to be in a perspective that I don't often hear about. What we're talking about today is going to be related to autism. My guest is Amalia Starr. Her wonderful book is titled Raising Brandon, Creating a Path for Independence for Your Adult Kid with Autism and Special Needs. Amalia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
When I got your book, Amalia, I've interviewed a number of people through the years that I've been doing my program that have been involved with autism, and most of the time when they talk about autism, it's relating to a young child. When I got your book and I started reviewing it, I really thought you had a very, very special message to give, because not only do you have a son that is autistic, but you have walked a very, very long road, slowly and painfully, through the exploration that fortunately many, many parents don't have to go through today. But you did, because there was a great deal of ignorance and superstition and just total fear about what was not understood. And you enabled your son to be able to live an independent life. And I think that your story is very, very valuable. And you do workshops and all kinds of things. Now, when you started off with your book, what was the biggest challenge in front of you that you felt you really had to meet to be giving this message?
Well, it took me 12 years to write.
Okay.
And the reason was because I had to live what my story, my son and I both had to live what our story was about. When I began writing this book, it was really just for me. And as the years went by and Brandon wanted to live independently, which was a shock to me, and I had decided to help him with his dream. And as the years progressed, one after another, we had 12 years under our belt, Brandon did, living independently, and I thought that we truly did have a story worth sharing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, one of the things that I want to share with my listeners, your son was born in 1973. There was no open discussion at that time, when you had a special needs child. In fact, usually, it's a very Victorian type of attitude, I feel. You put things away. You hide them, or you ignore what's really going on. And you had to go through that. One of the things that really was significant to me, in fact, it was on the very first page of your preface, it said you wanted to be sure that in this book you were able to share your feelings about how you felt, your fears, your anger, your confusion, because you had a child that was different. And that was something that was to be hidden. It was never something to be shared about. And this, again, went on for a long time before your son was even born with many, many people. And I think your openness is to be commended. Now, he has the Asperger's syndrome, and also he has untreatable epilepsy and severe learning disorders. I mean, this is the time a child that they would have said, just put it in an institution and get on with your life.
They did.
And you have found your son. This was a very poignant paragraph to me. You have found your son locked in a shed, battered and bruised on the bottom of a pile of kids. He had been shoved, spit on, slapped, teased, taunted, and tormented. Those are very powerful descriptions. and they're very real experiences. You went through this journey, and so many parents today, fortunately, there are men and women like you who are willing to stand up and say, let me tell you what I went through, so that they know that they're not alone. But many times they're not even aware of you, and that's another advantage of having your book. You found you had to change your vocabulary. You said you quickly replaced the word couldn't with could. And you said this is something. Now, you bring up some statistics. One out of every 150 children, you say, have this developmental disorder. That number is a significant number. Do you have any theories as to why it has grown so much?
I'm asked that quite frequently. And after listening to a lot of mothers and professionals, there are so many different answers. And to be honest with you, I do see a connection, because when a mother says to me, my son or daughter was just fine until they had their vaccination,
mm-hmm.
and the next day they weren't, they had all these autistic tendencies, it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And these other people say it's genetic. That makes sense to me. Other people say it's environmental. We don't know. We don't know. And to this day, I was just told that it looks like we're at 100 instead of 150.
Well, that's appalling.
Yeah. And growing. And why is it growing? People say it's possibly growing because when my son was young, we never knew he had a form of autism. Matter of fact, and this is very important, we didn't find out that Brandon had Asperger's syndrome until he was 32 years old.
Good grief.
Exactly. And when Brandon was diagnosed at 9 by a pediatric neurologist, she took me into her office and whispered, don't ever tell anyone that Brandon has epilepsy. Don't ever tell Brandon. And, you know, I was young. I did what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to say to other parents that that information was probably the worst information that could have been given to me. How can we help our children if we don't address what the problem is?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't know what it is, we cannot help them. It's always put say to people, you know, if you get on a bus and the bus driver doesn't know where you're going, doesn't know where to get you to your location, how to get you there, you're not going to get there. So it's really our duty as parents to gain as much knowledge, to listen to ourselves, and to just read and go on the internet. I mean, they have things that I never had 36 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, talk to other parents, because now people are open and they want to talk. They want to find out more information. I do a lot of workshops at seminars and a lot of speaking engagements. And I find those parents are all there for, obviously, to learn and to educate themselves. But they're there for hope. So many times you'll go to a lecture or a presentation and our conference, and you won't hear much hope. And that's one thing that my book is filled with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. And another thing with a book like this, I wrote this for myself, but then it turned out that I really wrote this for other parents. And you cannot fool another parent. You must be 100% honest, because they'll see right through you. And that's what I love most about my book, is that it was written honest. It was honestly written, took years and tons of tears to get through it, because it is hard to face this at times and to rehash it. And to know what Brandon went through and how he was beat up, how he was abused, and how people looked the other way, that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. I think that in your book, you bring out so many significant points. One is that the people in the medical profession 36 years ago, but believe it or not, it's still prevalent today.
Right.
But 36 years ago, it was even worse. And they wanted you to hide things. They didn't want to acknowledge. They didn't know certain things. But you finally found a young man by the name of Bruce who was able to teach your son to read. He was able to reach him. And that was such a breakthrough for Brandon because there were all of these limitations. And I think of people like Helen Keller, that if there hadn't been that wonderful woman that taught her, but she had to get through the tantrums and all of the confusion because Helen just was not, she couldn't hear, she couldn't see. She lived in a world all of her own, and she was scared. And
right.
So there was that breakthrough. And then once that breakthrough occurred, then she was off and running. She had tools to work with. Brandon was able to do things, too, because of your support and support of some significant individuals. He was able to grow into his own potential, and he was able to think for himself to a great degree.
Right. What got Brandon in a lot of trouble, and this is not unusual, is his social interactions.
Mm-hmm.
He was inappropriate, terribly inappropriate, repeated himself often, and he got beat up because of it. And he was beat up often, I would say at least a couple times a week, until I went into school and I volunteered in his classroom several times a week, just so he would be safe. But nowadays we have shadows, which is, you know, a person who comes in the classroom with your child. We also have grandparent, an organization, the Grandparent Program, which is nationwide. I never knew about it until a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they have people over the age of 60 come in and work with the special needs kids, and they call them grandparents. And with them in the room, it really does help them to be more safe.
Well, what it is, it's supervision.
Exactly.
And what it is a responsible adult that is there that can walk up to one youngster. And kids are kids. I don't care what generation they come from.
Right.
They are always, I mean, it's something, they can be extremely vicious and extremely cruel. For whatever reason, that's a part of life. You look at nature and every other species, it's the same kind of thing. So you have to go through this growing cycle, but it takes an older individual being around that says, enough is enough, you do not do this. Do you know why you don't do this? And setting the boundaries. And I think that that's very, very important because it's something that is so necessary. And I think having an assistant like that with a teacher who is going to be in a classroom teaching and having a mature person over the age of 60 is one of the best ideas I've heard of in a long time. I think that's terrific. Now, let's go into when Brandon was about 12, because we're coming into this cycle when he ended up being able to go and live on his own. And his story, to me, is just wonderful. Mm-hmm. But when he was 12, your mother, she was just absolutely wonderful because that she gave you a break. She was one of those rare angels that she and Brandon were his best buddies, and they just go everywhere together. And she was never embarrassed by him. She just said, okay, that's what we do. If this works, fine. If this doesn't work, fine. She just really flowed with it. And that's an incredible human being.
Yes, yes. My mother was amazing. And she was Brandon's best friend. She truly was. And accepted him like I've never seen anyone else to this day who's accepted him that way. And she just felt, you know what? It's my grandson. He's fine. He is who he is. And truly, it is hard for us as parents to do that. It is not all, but for many of us. Until we get to that acceptance period. And I fought against that until Brandon was about 13. I was truly on the wrong side of the team. I wasn't on Brandon's team.
Mm-hmm.
It was too painful. But by the time he turned 13 and I was exhausted from fighting it. You know, I found it was easier to get on the team and to try to help him. And my mother was a terrific role model. She was a wonderful, and she was like an angel. She came to rescue me when I needed to be rescued. And it's very important, and I say this several times in my book, we need help. We need assistance as parents. We need help, and we need it from the right people. And that is so crucial to our well-being. The healthier we are as parents, especially mothers most of the time, we can then assist our kids in a better way. But if we're completely depleted, we have nothing to give. Nothing.
Now, I want to bring up a point. You were married at the time, and eventually you ended up being divorced from your husband because he never could really adapt to the challenges that were put upon the marriage by having this child, Brandon, that had his own special personality and this problem with autism, Asperger's syndrome. Now, you also had another son.
Right.
And your other son, your older son, he was bright, he was healthy, he was normal. And that's another thing we need to address, too, because you had to deal with the fact that Brandon demanded so much of your attention. And at the time, 30-some-odd years ago, when you were dealing with this, you didn't even know what you were dealing with.
Right.
And so you were on that uphill battle. And as the years went by, he had a lot of agitation, a lot of resentment that was there. And, of course, Brandon worshipped the ground he walked on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's one of those things. It's really, really tough. And he couldn't understand a lot of this because how could you explain it to him? You didn't even understand it yourself.
And it goes a little bit further than that. He didn't want to see when his son had a grand mal seizure on the ground next to his feet, and he would shake for several minutes. He didn't see that. He could actually be in denial after that. And I understand that denial can be very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a workshop for men, and I found this fascinating. Men say the reason that they can't accept this often, some men certainly can, it's not all men, is that they always think they have to fix it. And if they can't fix it, they can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always in the fix-it mode. My husband was he just kind of tuned out and was, you know, this was another son of his. This was his son, and he couldn't do the things. Brandon was extremely disturbing to the family unit. That's not unusual for kids that have a disability.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, Matthew, who was an easy child to raise, you know, they say the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And, you know, Matthew didn't get as much attention, even though I went out of my way to do everything I could to be there for him for theater arts and you know, his soccer games, everything I could do, I would go. And if I brought Brandon, it would infuriate him because Brandon would scream out things that were inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to deal also with shame, embarrassment. And, yeah, it's hard. It's even hard today because he really believes that his brother can do better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do. He kind of falls into that category, Brandon, where one day you'll see him, he looks, well, kind of normal, and the next day you'll see him, you're like, oh my gosh, how did Amalia let him live alone?
Mm-hmm.
So I've had many phone calls from people saying, I can't believe that you would let him live alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sorry I did. As a matter of fact, I'm thrilled I did. We have a 12 years under, he has 12 years under his belt. Life is not perfect, and I am not here to say that about him at all. We always have obstacles to get over, and we have, you know, we just have things every day. But I parent from a distance. I do that. I talk about that in my book, how you get through this. I met a gal just the other day at a conference, and she said, I can let my 19-year-old son move out, but I cannot let my 22-year-old son who has Asperger's move out. And we had a discussion, and I said, you have to be courageous. I am not saying that all children can live alone. That's not the point here. It's helping our children become independent. Does that mean living in a special room in the house? That's great. Does that mean living in a guest house? You know, does it has, you know, does it mean group home? There's many choices here. Brandon living alone is not for everybody, but the fact that he has achieved it is nothing short of a miracle plus a ton of hard work.
Hard work, and then, as you said, you ask for help. Now, let's go into how this evolved with Brandon moving into his own place, because he's the one that let you know that he wanted to live on his own. And many of the things that you went through as a mother when you were looking at this, because one of the strongest instincts of a mother is to protect, to insulate. And you had seen so much with your son. You had known the brutality he had gone through. You had known, for all of his small, tiny baby steps of accomplishments, how hard he had had to work and how much energy and effort went into it to get it to that point. So here he is making a statement to you, and of course you're scared to death. You know of all the various things that you've seen. You know he's far from being perfect. You know that socially he can be very inept at times. And that was really a challenge. What got you over that hump?
I'd never seen my son ask for anything except other than a toy.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon went away to school at the New York Institute of Technology for Independent Living Skills to gain them. And I don't want people to think when he came back he had them. But he did live there, and he was also physically abused by his roommates. And so there was no way to escape this being beat up or tormented. And so when he asked me to live alone, that's what he wanted, yes, it surprised me. But I also knew that he needed to find a place of peace. We all deserve that. And so, you know, I made a plan. My plan was to be as courageous as I could, to take each day as it comes, and to make a plan to have his apartment set up just the way I thought he would like it. I had a girlfriend who was an organizer. We got everything in place for him. He liked it so much, he decided to stay there the first night. I thought he'd be living with me for at least a month. That didn't happen. And yet, I tell a story, and I love this story, because it tells you a lot. I talked to Brandon one. I used to check in. I used to call him every day. And then I would take him on the bus. I would take him places so he could learn on his own. And so he called me one day, and he said, "You know what, Mom? There's a lot of weird people out there at 2 o'clock in the morning." I didn't say a word, and he said, "But I'll never do that again."
Mm-hmm.
We do learn through our experiences. I'm not saying that was such a great thing, but he learned. It took him one time. Yes, we have to be careful, and we have to teach our kids, our adults, you know, what to look out for, but we cannot do that in every aspect of their life, because socializing and being part of the world, it's all new every step of the way. So we have to trust and help our kids. I mean, the way I teach Brandon to eat is he doesn't know what is healthy. He has not a clue. I took him to a restaurant, and I said, "Brandon, look in this case. Pick out a couple of things, but you've got to pick it by color." So I talk about this in my book. He went and he said, "I want orange, green, and beige." I didn't say beige, brown. So he picked out the orange carrots, the green beans, and a piece of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And now he eats by color. So there's so many ways to help our kids, and every kid is different. So we as moms, we are so tuned into these kids. We know how to do it. We have to trust ourselves. We can never give up. And if our kids desire this, and if you think there's a small possibility, I encourage you to look into it and to step over that line and trust yourself that you can, that you have the courage to do this. As you become more courageous, so do our kids. I am so thrilled that Brandon's been able to live alone. He is independent, and so am I. It is something, and I want parents to hear this, it is something I never expected to happen.
You have a statement in your book, and I'm going to quote this right out of your book. We may talk a lot about our children's limitations, but we parents have our own personality problems and unhealthy behaviors to contend with. Sometimes we just behave badly, and when we do, it is our responsibility to recognize it and find ways to improve our actions. Also, you realized that, and that was after a particular episode you had with Brandon, you said you needed to develop a new way of interacting using direct communication. Your discussion of color to enable him to pick out healthy foods is great. But I also liked a sentence where you said, lowering my expectations, I experienced fewer disappointments. I think that there is so much wisdom in your book. There is so much clarity in your book and honesty that anyone that would read it that has a child with any kind of a challenge, or if you have a member of your family or a friend that's got a child that's challenged, you, through your words, you're able to give a picture to people who read the words that enable them to recognize that this, in its own way, is a gift. And when I finished reading your book, Raising Brandon, I thought, you have been given many, many gifts, not just the gift of frustration and irritation, but the understanding that your son really did have a capacity to think things out. I mean, if he was in trouble, he figured out he could go to the local police station, which was just down the street from him. He told you his logic of working things out, and he did this on his own. And you just have, I have to compliment you, instead of trying to dominate, you said focus on what the kid can do, trust yourself, love more, expect less. Those are really powerful words. Now, I know, Amalia, that you have a wonderful website. As you've already expressed, you speak, you give workshops, so anybody who's listening, if they'd want to interact with you, they could go to your website, Amalia Starr, Speaker Autism, and that's A-M-A-L-I-A, Starr, S-T-A-R-R, speakerautism.com. Before we close out our chat today, Amalia, is there something additional that you would like to address to parents that have these children, or to just my listeners in general, regarding children with special needs?
I find that I knew for sure I couldn't start off my book with this statement. But by the time I get to page 240, around there, I believe people who read my book will know it's for real. And they begin to trust me. And what I'm saying here is that by 240 pages, by the time Brandon was quite a bit, you know, I'd say in his 20s, I started, the light went on. I started to see the light. I actually could see that this was becoming, even though a tough journey, it was becoming an education of life. It actually helped me to be a more evolved human being during this process. And there are times when you have to dig so deep and be so creative and think out of the box, because you just are forced to do it. These are our kids, and as parents, we all want the same thing. We all want our children to live the best life possible. And I know that Brandon is at this time, and that makes me, as a mother, really happy.
Well, I congratulate you, and I think you're a walking, talking example of the potential of opportunity, not just possibility, but opportunity and reality of a harmony in life that can be experienced, even though there may be a lot of rough bumps along the road that could make you feel bruised and beaten up at times. But you get through them, the bruises disappear, and wisdom ends up evolving. Raising Brandon, creating a path for independence for your adult kid with autism and special needs. Also, go to AmaliaStarSpeakerAutism.com for more information about this wonderful woman's experience with a son who is now living independently. Amalia, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget, Raising Brandon is a wonderful book. If you have a friend that has a need, think of giving it as a gift. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo, and I want to let you know that the telephone lines are now open. We do have a caller, but you can call in also, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you've not called in before, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, then I'd love to know where you're calling from, but I also will tell you what I perceive. And if you should have something else that you want to discuss, just let me know right at the beginning. Say, Donna, I have a question for you, and we can do that. And I do know we've got a caller on the line. So let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Margaret from Tempe, Arizona.
Hello, Margaret. Okay, let me just put something down here. Did you have a chance to hear our guest today?
Oh, no.
You didn't. I'm sorry you missed her. She was quite an interesting lady. Okay, Margaret, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is that you are going to need to be very disciplined. And you're going to have to do the follow-through that is necessary, that sometimes is difficult for you because you are waging a war in your mind. And I want to say you need to put your fear aside and just say, okay, what have I got to lose? I'm just going to go ahead, do the follow-up. The worst-case scenario is that someone is going to say, no, I'm not interested, and then you have to open up another door someplace else. So I really think that it is important for you to recognize that part of what's happening at this time is a breakthrough. And it's a breakthrough regarding certain personal disciplines and habits that you have not been able to shift and change the way that you like. So this is coming about, and you are taking what I call tiny baby steps to achieve the breakthrough, and there's going to be that moment, that aha, when you're going to realize that you can change a particular direction, you can change a particular approach, and you will do fabulously. But this is something you have to go through. You have to deal with the fear, you have to deal with the apprehension, and you have to stand back and ask yourself, what is it that is causing me to carry this fear around inside? And I think that there's going to be some introspection that's going on. And this is a significant month, this month of September. It is a month of breakthrough. It's a month of confronting a mind shadow of fear that has been there for a long time. I'd say it's been there for years, and it's coming into what I'd say the bright side of being able to view it, and you're going to be able to make that shadow into just nothing more than a little itsy-bitsy tiny dot and finally dissolve it. But that's what you're going through right now. So you're coming face-to-face with what you have carried in the way of a habit, a part of a belief system, and it's time to bring it out in the light so you don't have it anymore so that you can move on ahead the way you want. What question do you have for me?
I don't really have a question. I need to listen to the show on the archives.
Okay, that's what you want to do.
The only question I would have would be, and I'm thinking this is that you've nailed it on the head as far as what you were talking about. Is it a fear about like my writing?
I don't have the direct answer for you because you've got to be able to see it yourself.
Okay.
You will make the discovery, not me.
Okay.
And if you're going to listen to the archives, what I'd encourage you to do is to have a pen in hand and write down what's said, so that you can maybe type it out and look at it and think about it.
I will.
Because that's going to make the difference. Anytime we make a shift in thinking, we leave a void temporarily, especially when it comes to a belief system. And I'll share with you what my mentor shared with me many years ago. She said, whenever you want to take something out of your space, let's say you have a very negative attitude about the self. Let's just use that as an example, like there's something with self-esteem. And you've had this, and it just hangs around you, and maybe you're subconsciously, without realizing it, sabotaging yourself. And you'll say, I've gone through a certain pattern over and over and over and over and over again. Gee, I don't know what's wrong with me. And we don't realize that it's on a subconscious level, that we're not consciously standing there and saying to ourselves, I want to screw this whole thing up so that everything is a disaster. You don't say that. I don't say that. Most people don't say that. They're not going to because they don't want to do that. But many times we have adopted, absorbed, and put into an automatic play in our heads on a subconscious level certain things. And it could be something so simple as someone maybe said to you, you've got the brains of a slug. You couldn't do anything if you tried it, and you're so slow. I mean, you know, what it could have been said to you by somebody, could have been a certain stranger, could have been someone at work, it could have been family, could have been anybody. So let's say somebody said something like that to you, and you go, oh my goodness, well maybe they said it not once, and maybe they said it a lot of times. So subconsciously, because it was there, it was adopted, because you say, wow, they've said this so many times, it has to be true, and then maybe someplace else, somebody else says something, and it's just reinforcing. Well, when you are of a certain age and you're vulnerable, as, well, I guess we are vulnerable most of the time, unless we're consciously present with our thinking, we will say, that's me, that's who I am. And so we adopt it, and it becomes so much a part of us in our belief system, we never get rid of it. Well, let's say we become educated enough, and we go, wait a minute. I don't know what a kind of a brain a slug has. I'm not even concerned about that. That's a particular creature. I'm not a slug. I have a brain. I'm intelligent. I'm getting an A+ in quantum physics. What is wrong with this picture? So you're shifting your thinking. You're saying, wait a minute. I'm not that. So to replace that belief of something that someone said to you, you have, once you say, I'm going to remove this out of my mental file cabinet, then that creates a space in that file cabinet. Well, you can shred that old file, but the mind is a very interesting thing because it really never, ever forgets anything. And there is always that shadow there. So if you don't have something to put in for a new file to fit that new place that's empty, that's been vacated, that void, nature abhors the void, so it'll put back the old file. So what you have to do is put a new file in there. And that could be something so simple as saying, I have got a wonderful brain. I am creative. I am this. And just seeing it, knowing it, feeling it, and just say, why is it that I have this marvelous brilliance about myself? And just focusing on that. That fills that void, unless you give the other tapes back in place. Do you get the picture I'm trying to convey?
You know, yes, and I'm perfectly in tune with what habit I want to rid myself of. I really feel a sense of violation with people, certain people, that when I first meet and I trust them and I trust who they say they are, and then when something happens, that they are misrepresenting something through whatever, you know, whatever baggage mm-hmm. they're carrying, I have a hard time. And if it's necessary to carry on a working association with them, I really want to learn how to still be aware of boundaries, at the same time try to focus on their positive traits. But I have it's a struggle of mine right now.
Well, part of what the struggle is that you may not feel that you are valuing yourself enough to be able to establish the boundaries that are needed between yourself and another person. And
oh, no, I established
it. Okay, well, go ahead.
No, I have no problem in establishing the boundary. I'll clearly speak my mind, but through continued association, I'm thinking of one person in particular right now, the necessary association, there's just a continued ongoing stuff from them, and I want to practice detachment so that I'm not aware of they're not easy for me to deal with, and if I practice, I feel if I practice detachment that it and focus on their positive, not to be a pushover, but
we're almost out of time here. I've got to go on a break pretty soon. But let me make a suggestion to you. This, we've got billions of people on this planet. This is not the only individual you have to do business with. You can make a choice of being selective about who you do business with. And that is something that you need to be able to be comfortable with. If anything causes you to violate your own integrity or your own feeling of worth and value, then you need to look at that as being an investment. And if this is not a good investment for you, then it's like, move on. Say thank you, I'm grateful, and look for another venue, another person that's going to be of the right caliber. And I think you'll enjoy success. I need to say goodbye to you because we're going to be taking a break. And for those of you who are listening that would like to call in, 888-815-9756. Hey, I promise that chocolate recipe to you, and I'll get it to you after we come back from break. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I had promised, by the way, if you want to call in and chat with me, it's 888-815-9756. I had promised yesterday to share a recipe with you, and we got involved with something else, and it just didn't happen. This is an Italian chocolate truffle. Oh, it is so good, and it is so easy to make. Very few ingredients, and I wanted to share it with you because sometimes we want to fix something special, and we don't want to spend a whole bunch of time doing it, but we want it to be exceptional. So this is something that makes a great gift. And if you like being in the kitchen and you like making special things, and the holidays will be evolving, they'll be here before we know it, this is a nice recipe to use. This makes about 24 chocolate truffles. Now this is what you're going to need. You're going to need 6 ounces of dark chocolate, 6 ounces of dark chocolate. Get the best quality chocolate you possibly can. You need 2 tablespoons of almond-flavored liqueur. It's amaretto, or an orange-flavored liqueur. Either one will work beautifully for this recipe. You just need 2 tablespoons of each. You need 3 tablespoons of sweet butter, 3 tablespoons of sweet butter. You need 1/2 cup of confectionery sugar, 1/2 cup of confectionery sugar. You need 1/2 cup of ground almonds, and you can just take whole almonds that are blanched where there's no skin on them and just go ahead and grind them. If you've got a grinder at home, you can grind them yourself. You need 1/2 cup. You need 1 3/4 ounces of grated chocolate. Now, again, I'd recommend the dark chocolate, but it's up to you. If you'd like a little milk chocolate, you could do that too. This is how simple it is. Now, you're going to need a double boiler. You're going to also need little paper candy cases. You know how they come when you go to a candy shop, they come in those little paper cups. Well, get them, and if you're going to give it as a gift, you can get some pretty, pretty little paper candy cases. Now, this is what you need. You need to take your dark chocolate with the liqueur, put it in the top of a double boiler, and you need to put it over hot water, and you stir those 2 ingredients until they're well combined. Then you're going to add the 3 tablespoons of butter and stir until that's melted. And then you gently stir in the confectionery sugar and the ground almonds. Now, you make sure you've got it well mixed, and I'd recommend using a wooden spoon to do it because it really, wooden spoons really are great for this. Or, you know, if you have a, what I would say the equivalent in a plastic spoon, either one is great. Leave the mixture in a cool place until it's firm enough to roll into about 24 balls. And you can use one of those little scoops that you, you know, because these aren't going to be real big pieces of candy unless you want to make it that way. Now, you want to take your grated chocolate. You will put it in a plate, and you might want to keep it, depending on how warm your kitchen is, you might want to keep it covered with a piece of wax paper until you're ready with it, after you've grated it in the refrigerator until you're ready for this step. But you take the grated chocolate on the plate, and then you roll these little truffles to coat them, and you can put the truffles in the paper candy cases and chill. That's all there is to this. It's really wonderful. Now, there is, if you want a little sweeter, if you use the milk chocolate instead of the dark and dip the truffles in melted chocolate to finish, you can do that. It's just, there's different things that you can do. Also, if you wanted to put mixture, maybe a little tiny sparkling candies, you know, the sugar candies, if you want to mix that in with a chocolate, because the chocolate, before you, you know, you've got it in the positioning where it's still sort of soft, so it'll mix and blend with anything. There's all kinds of stuff you can do with it, and you could even take a little white chocolate if you wanted and then melt that in the microwave and just very gently drizzle it over the top, and you'll have, or you could use dark chocolate. You could do all kinds of things. Just let your imagination go with this. It is absolutely delightful, and it is so pretty. One holiday season, I'll never forget, a lovely woman who gave me a gift of truffles she had made at home, and in, let's say instead of making the 24, she made 12. She made very large ones, and oh, were they good. They were just melt in your mouth. And when I came across this this recipe, it brought back that wonderful memory of the gift the woman had given me. And she put it in a very pretty box. It had tissues in it and a beautiful ribbon around it. She had just given that personal touch. And I just think it's wonderful when you can do that. And it always means so much when it comes from your own kitchen. So that's a wonderful recipe. I wanted to close out the show today. Oh, I can't forget this. Almost forgot. Don't forget, this Saturday, September the 19th, I'm going to be on Achieve Radio. I'm going to be on their Super Psychic Show with Bill from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can hear it on achieveradio.com/super-psychic-radio. And the free call-in number is 888-235-7374. And if you have Skypes, if you're international, you can use that number on Skypes and get to there also. And then on September 26th, I'm going to be on Saturday at the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club Expo. Wonderful, wonderful event. And this is at Kent Commons. It's at 525 4th Avenue North in Kent, Washington. 98042 is the zip code. The hours are 9 until 5. I, along with other people, will be speaking there. Also, I will have a booth where I'll be doing many consultations. So for those of you in the state of Washington, you'll be able to come on by and say hello. Go to their website, bepcweb.org. That's Boy Edward Paul Charlie Webb.org. But anyway, I wanted to close out. I didn't want to forget to get those messages in, but I wanted to close out with a statement out of Amalia Starr's book, because it is quite good. And it's from Eckhart Tolle's Practicing the Power of Now. When you are ill or disabled, do not feel you failed in some way. Don't feel guilty. Do not blame life for treating you unfairly, but do not blame yourself either. All that is resistance. If you have a major illness, use it for enlightenment. Anything bad that happens in your life, use it for enlightenment. Withdraw time from illness. Do not give it any past or future. Let it force you into intense present moment awareness and see what happens. Become an alchemist. Transmute base metal into gold, suffering into consciousness, disaster into enlightenment. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are an alchemist. You can transform your life. You can live with a richness that no one will ever be able to take from you. Tomorrow, we will be having a great show. I invite you to join me to learn about the 12. Yes. 12, 21, 12. Do you know what that is? Join me. You'll find out tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo, back here at BBSRadio.com, Station 1. Same time, same place. Tell your friends. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.